Water, says author and economic journalist Stephen Solomon, has been a key element in the evolution of many of the world's great civilizations.
You look at Rome with its aqueducts, which brought plentiful, clean, healthy water to a city that could grow to a million people, unheard of in those days, and allowed Rome to become this great metropolitan civilization. Their canals, think about the Grand Canal in China, that really was the triggering event that set off China's great medieval civilization, which was unparalleled at the time, in many ways one of the greatest ever in the history of the world.
In his new book, Water, The Epic Struggle for Wealth, Power, and Civilization, Solomon tells the story of transformative inventions like the water wheel, irrigation, the steam engine, and hydroelectric power. Solomon says some of these innovations are actually at the root of today's worsening water scarcity problems.
The giant dams of the 20th century, starting with the Hoover Dam, there are now 45,000 such multipurpose dams around the world, half of them, by the way, in China. But they were one of the great facilitators of the Green Revolution, because the Green Revolution was not just a matter of hybridization of cropping and fertilization, but needed massive amounts of water.
Water use grew twice as fast as world population in the 20th century, Solomon says. But today, our ability to exploit water can no longer match the demand.
We simply don't have enough water to do the economic things that we need to do with it or want to do with it for 6.5 billion, much less the 9 billion that we are becoming.
According to the United Nations, 1 billion people around the world lack access to safe drinking water, and 2.5 billion people lack adequate sanitation. Poor nations are the hardest hit, with an enormous gap between the haves and have-nots. Solomon says he saw this inequity clearly during his 2004 visit to a rural village in southeastern Kenya, where he gone as a volunteer to help build a simple mud dam.
They need this to trap the monsoonal waters so that they have enough for the for their cattle. But every season it wears down and they have to redo it again. It's a backbreaking, laborious effort that takes a great amount of time and effort to do. So these people are living in dirt poor subsistence level, largely because they have not had the means to be able to take care of their, to be able to manage the water resources that they do have.
Another service project on that same trip connected villagers in the region with a well that had been drilled 30 years earlier. Since then, people in the area have had to carry water more than 3 kilometers for their daily needs.
It takes up many hours, time that, you know, you can't use for education for the kids, for productive work. It's a form of enslavement, really, given the technologies that are available to us today to be able to deliver water.
Solomon's book also examines the world's water hotspots, countries such as India and China, where water scarcity could limit those nations' capacity to feed themselves. Solomon writes about intense competition in East Africa over Nile River water and describes how essential underground aquifers in North Africa and the Middle East are being drained faster than they are replenished. Fresh water, Solomon explains, is simply disappearing in many parts of the world. More and more rivers, slowed by dams and bled by irrigation canals, don't reach the sea anymore. Wetlands are disappearing. And clean drinking water, traditionally drawn from rivers or wells, is becoming increasingly scarce or unavailable. Solomon is guardedly hopeful that these trends can be reversed if societies learn to use water more efficiently and if they adhere to 3 broad principles, the first and foremost being social equity.
Because there have been cases where, and there are many cases in the world, where water is actually, the poor are actually subsidizing the rich in very perverse ways. You can't have that. We need to have ecosystems have to be managed in a sustainable manner. And that means enough water for the ecosystems, understanding those ecosystems. And then thirdly, water needs to be treated as an economic good.
Author Stephen Solomon says ending freshwater scarcities will require nations to work together to devise new domestic and foreign policies that protect and share this critical resource. Solomon concludes with this observation: how each country acts in response to the freshwater crisis is a judgment on our own humanity and the ultimate fate of human civilization. Water, The Epic Struggle for Wealth, Power, and Civilization by Stephen Solomon is published by HarperCollins. Roseanne Skirbel, VOA News, Washington.